You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
St. Thomas of Canterbury, when he was a young man, found himself one day in conversation with several other youths, each of whom boasted of some foolish love affair. The holy youth declared that he too loved a great lady and was beloved by her, meaning the Most Holy Blessed Virgin. Afterwards, he felt some remorse at having made this boast. But behold, Mary appeared to him in his trouble, and with a gracious sweetness said to him, "Thomas, what do you fear? You had reason to say that you loved me, and that you are beloved by me. Assure your companions of this, and as a pledge of the love I bear you, show them this gift that I make you." But the gift was a small box containing a chasuble, a priestly chasuble, of a blood-red color, as a sign that Mary, for the love she bore him, Thomas of Canterbury, had obtained for him the grace to be a priest and a martyr, which indeed happened. For he was first made priest and afterwards Bishop of Canterbury in England, where he was at one time persecuted by the king, and fled to the Cistercian monastery at Pontignac in France. While he was there, wishing one day to mend his haircloth shirt that he usually wore, which was ripped, and not being able to do it well, his beloved queen, the Blessed Mother, appeared to him, and with special kindness took the haircloth from his hand and repaired it as it should be done. After this, he returned to England, to Canterbury, and died a martyr, having been put to death on account of his zeal with the church. Could the faith of St. Thomas of Canterbury be found in my parish and yours today? Good morning and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe. On June 16th, 2002, an estimated 300,000 people were in attendance there at St. Peter's Square, there to attend a canonization ceremony of a most beloved figure in the church. June 16, 2002 was the canonization of Saint Padre Pio. Indeed, a most beloved one of the most beloved of saints of modern time. But it leaves a question to be asked and a question to be answered. One of the things that Padre Pio was most well known for and famous for was his stigmata. That simple fact elicits a question. Out of all of church history, 2,000 years of church history, St. Padre Pio was the first priest to receive the stigmata. The question becomes, why? Some people would refer to, well, St. Francis, didn't he have the stigmata? Yes, but he was only a deacon. St. Padre Pio offered the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but as a deacon, St. Francis was only able to assist at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So the question becomes, why did God wait until, one can say, in the middle of the 20th century, to grace the church, his bride, the Bride of Christ, Holy Mother Church, with its first and only stigmatic priest? Was God here telling us something? Was God sending us a message?
Salve.
Listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
So the question again, why did God wait almost 2,000 years before bestowing upon the church its first and only stigmatic priest? In 1971, 3 years after Padre Pio's death, Pope Paul VI said to the superiors of the Capuchin Order, in speaking about Padre Pio, had this to say: "Look, what fame he had, what a worldwide following gathered around him. But why? Perhaps because he was a philosopher? Because he was wise? Because he had resources at his disposal? Or because he said Mass humbly, heard confessions from dawn to dusk, and was, it is not easy to say it, one who bore the wounds of our Lord? He was a man of prayer and suffering. Interesting how Pope Paul VI noted in this response. Because he said Mass humbly and heard confessions from dawn to dusk, apart from the stigmata. Which perhaps speaks to the church today. What do I mean? Cleonice Mercaldi was one of Padre Pio's spiritual daughters. And one day she asked Padre Pio, "Father, what is your Mass?" Saint Padre Pio responded, "A sacred accomplishment of the Passion of Christ." A sacred accomplishment of the Passion of Christ. Is that fact reflected in the Mass in your parish and mine? Cleonice went on to say, or ask, "What should I comprehend in your Holy Mass?" Padre Pio responded, "All of Calvary. All of Calvary." So the question then becomes, the people in my parish and yours during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass reflect that reality of what is occurring there in the sanctuary, on the altar, that we are taken through time and space and taken to that moment on Good Friday in Jerusalem. Where throughout the Holy Mass, we are walking with our Lord during his Passion. Where the priest is Alter Christi, in persona Christi, during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Where in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we are taken through time and space and taken to Calvary. At the moment of our Lord's crucifixion, does the comportment of the people in my parish and yours, and even our priests with all due respect, during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, reflect that reality? Cleonice went on to ask, "Father, tell me all that you suffer at the Holy Mass." Padre Pio responded, "All what Jesus suffered in his Passion, I inadequately suffered to the extent a human creature can possibly suffer." "Father," he was asked, "how could we know about your Passion?" And he responded, "In knowing the Passion of Jesus, you will also know mine." I remember the story being told with respect to St. Padre Pio, who was known for his Masses, the Holy Masses of St. Padre Pio, to go on for hours, 2, 3, even 4 hours. And the people were utterly transfixed throughout the whole Mass as they watched Padre Pio and the sacred mysteries unfolding there before them. People could see that yes, he did have the stigmata, and that he suffered painfully throughout the entire Holy Mass. And that one day somebody asked St. Padre Pio, "Padre Pio, because of the stigmata you have, the stigmata on your feet, how could you remain on your feet hours upon hours on end during the holy sacrifice of the Mass? How could you be there standing throughout that whole time and enduring that pain?" St. Padre Pio responded, "During Holy Mass, I am not standing. I am hanging. Hanging on a cross." Where St. Padre Pio united his suffering with our Lord's suffering of that Good Friday during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. St. Padre Pio was asked, "Father, is it true that you suffer the torment of the crowning of thorns during the Holy Mass?" Padre Pio responded, "And do you doubt it? During the whole Mass?" And he responded, "And also before and after it, the crown of thorns is never taken away." Padre Pio reported under obedience to his superior that at least once per week he suffered the scourging. And if anybody does go to San Giovanni Rotondo, where you can visit the relics that have remained from St. Padre Pio, you could see the night vestments that he wore. They're all covered in blood, which were a sign of the bloody signs of the scourging in imitation/reflection of our Lord, with which he suffered during the day and night. Padre Pio reported in writing that, quote, "I suffer the scourging from the beginning to the end of the Mass, but more intensely after the consecration, whereby even during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, he suffered the pains and torments of the crown of thorns and the scourging of our Lord." Padre Pio was asked, "Father, when at night you are scourged, are you alone or does somebody assist you?" Padre Pio responded, "The Holy Virgin assists me, and all of paradise is present." He was also asked, "I have seen you trembling when going up the stairs to the altar. Why? Was it because of what you were going to suffer?" Padre Pio responded, "No, not because of what I am supposed to suffer, but because of what I should suffer as a sinner." "Father, what time during the day do you suffer the most?" And he responded, "During the celebration of the Holy Mass." At which part of the divine sacrifice, he was asked, do you suffer the most? And he responded, from the consecration to the communion. And on that note, I'd like to reflect on one thing. The different elements of the Mass, which is more evident in the Latin Mass than it is during the Novus Ordo Mass, but regardless, the different elements of the Mass are reflective of the various points during our Lord's passion and suffering. When you are at Mass, you are walking with our Lord in the Via Crucis. You are accompanying our Lord in the Via Crucis. And by your comportment in Mass, whether reverent or not, you are either mirroring the women of Jerusalem, St. John, the Blessed Mother, or you are mirroring with your disrespectful and irreverent comportment during Mass, you are mirroring the Pharisees and the other people of Jerusalem who mocked our Lord, mirroring the Roman soldiers who crucified our Lord and crowned our Lord. The way you comport yourself during Holy Mass is a reflection of who you've chosen to mirror during Good Friday, whom you've chosen to mirror at Calvary. Again, Padre Pio was asked, Father, why do you almost always cry when you read the gospel in the Holy Mass? And he responded, and do you find it a little thing that a God talks to his creatures and they react against him? That he is injured constantly by their ingratitude and incredulity. Father, he was asked, but the people make noises during the Mass. And he responded, well, if you would have been at Calvary, where you heard screams, blasphemies, loud clamor and threats, that was really an uproar. But Father, do you not become distracted because of noises at the church? And he responded, no, absolutely not. But Father, why do you suffer so much during the consecration? And he responded, and you ask me why I suffer? I would like to shed not a few tears, but abundant tears. Are you not conscious of the tremendous mystery? God, victim for our sins, and we are his executioners. What a knife to the heart that is. God, victim of our sins, and we are his executioners. How more sad it is through the irreverent comportment of Catholics during the most holy mysteries that are unfolding there. Where during Holy Mass, it is the greatest thing, event, that occurs on earth. And how do Catholics comport themselves during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass? Whereby the irreverence of Catholics during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we once again become the executioners of our Lord. When we go out and commit mortal sin, we are the ones holding the hammer and the nails. Yes, we become the ones who place the crown of thorns on our Lord and pierce his side. And yet we, through our irreverence during Holy Mass, are none the wiser. Do not even realize the pain due to our irreverence and disrespect during the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That the pain we are causing our Lord and the pain we are causing his mother, the Blessed Virgin.
Thank you.
You are listening to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zampanti.
Again, the question. Why did God wait 2,000 years before bestowing on Holy Mother Church its first and only stigmatic priest? St. Padre Pio again was asked, "Does the Most Blessed Virgin Mary attend your Mass?" And he responded, "Do you think the mother is not interested in her son? Well, Father, do angels attend your Mass?" And he said, "In legions." "What do they do?" And he responded by saying, "They adore and praise." Father, now listen to this one. He was asked, "Father, how are we supposed to listen to the Mass?" And mark my words, listen to what he said. He said, "The way the Blessed Virgin and the pious women attended to the tragedy of Calvary. The same way John attended the Eucharistic sacrifice and the bloody sacrifice of the cross." Again, does the comportment during the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the greatest thing that occurs on earth, by far, nothing even close to that. Does the comportment of our fellow brothers and sisters during the Holy Mass reflect that of the women of Jerusalem, of St. John, of the Blessed Mother at Calvary? Or does it in fact mirror that of the people of Jerusalem, of the Pharisees, of the Romans, of the Jewish high priests, of Pilate? On July 25th, 1915, Padre Pio wrote a letter to Anita Rodote on how to properly attend the Holy Mass. Now, this is something that should be read during homilies as a reminder to our brothers and sisters during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Padre Pio wrote to Anita Rodote on how to properly attend the Mass by saying, "The Divine Master calls the Church the house of prayer. And in order to avoid irreverence and imperfections, I exhort you in the Lord to enter the Church in silence and with great respect." Does that occur in our parishes before Holy Mass? Or is it, as we Italians say, before Mass, the atmosphere and the noise emanating from the church is more like a mercato, a marketplace, rather than the house of prayer, the house of God, the house of the Lord? He goes on to say to Anita Rodote, "Take the holy water and make the sign of the cross carefully and slowly. Before God in the Blessed Sacrament, genuflect devoutly. And sadly, sad to say, where is the Blessed Sacrament? In our sanctuaries, in our church? Where is the tabernacle? Is it in the center of the church where it should be? Or has it been moved off to the side, down the hall, around the closet, so to speak? Where, sadly, in these last 50 plus years, we've taken it upon ourselves to move our Lord, to move the tabernacle out of the sanctuary. Where we've moved the, quote, star of the show, so to speak, off the stage and moved him to the side. And I think this has led to an absence of respect and reverence for the Blessed Sacrament. It's led to an absence of respect for the sanctuary, allowing now people to gather, come into the church, sit down, take your seats, as if they were just getting ready. The chit-chatting that was going on, that occurs too often in our parishes, is like people are just preparing for the curtain to go up on the Broadway show that is about to happen. How sad. Padre Pio goes on to say, at your pace, kneel down and render to Jesus the tribute of your presence. Confide to him all your needs and those of others. Speak to him with filial abandonment. Be very composed when standing up, kneeling down, and sitting. Carry out every religious act with the greatest devotion. And if this goes for the laity, so much more is it incumbent upon our priests. He goes on to say, be modest in your glance. Don't turn your head here and there to see who enters and leaves. Don't laugh. Don't speak to anybody except when requested for charity or other strict necessity. Don't speak to anybody. And what happens in our parishes? When I go there to Holy Mass with my family, I kneel down and I'm there trying to say my rosary. And it's difficult to get through my prayers, in a sense, because of the endless, ceaseless chatter that is emanating from everybody. It seems everybody from in the church. Grandmothers talking about their grandkids, to their friends and neighbors who they probably haven't seen in a couple of days. The constant chit-chat and chatter, which is more suitable to a marketplace than the house of God. And it is often conducted by those, the elderly, those who should know better, those who should be setting an example to the younger, are the ones who are most, are the ones who are most guilty, sad word to use, of this conduct during the, before Mass. And it isn't any wonder that even now the younger folk, taking cues from the older folk, comport likewise during Holy Mass. And here Padre Pio says, don't speak to anybody except when requested for charity and other strict necessities. And how often does that occur? Hardly ever. We become distracted by the mundane when we are in the presence of the divine. He goes on to say, say the words, in other words, the words of the Mass, the responses, say the words distinctly, observe the pauses, and never hurry. Behave in such a way that all those present are edified by you. Don't leave without asking Jesus for his blessings and forgiveness for your shortcomings. And leave the church recollected and calm. And it is sad to say that many times, and even in the various parishes that I've been to, as people go up for Holy Communion, and as they turn around and return to their pews, oh, many of them don't even go back to their pews. Many of them head straight out the door after receiving our Lord. Many making the mad dash to the parking lot to get in their cars and beat the traffic out of the church's parking lot. Who was the first to leave Holy Mass before the final blessing? Judas. And for those who do not even remain in the house of God for the final blessing, when the Mass is ended, you are comporting yourself as Judas did at the Last Supper. Another bishop speaking in Brindisi had this to say about St. Padre Pio when he celebrated Holy Mass. He said, quote, "It is impossible for anyone who saw him celebrate Mass even once to forget it. The distinct pronunciation of the words at that time in Latin, his recollection, which seemed to open up an abyss between himself and his surroundings, the prolonged offertory which appeared to do violence to heaven, the consecration which rendered visible the bloodied immolation of Golgotha, his communion in which he seemed merged with Christ, his prolonged thanksgiving during which all present were held fast in silent meditation. For many people, especially priests, and I myself was among their number more than once, this sight was sufficient to produce a profound spiritual upheaval within me." Father Carty, writing of Padre Pio's Mass in the book Who is Padre Pio, had this to say: "When the hour of Mass approaches, all faces are turned toward the sacristy from which the Padre will come, seeming to walk painfully on his pierced feet. We feel that grace itself is approaching us, forcing us to bend our knees. And it is difficult, and indeed nearly impossible, to describe the Mass of Padre Pio. Many have tried without too much success. Padre Pio is not an ordinary priest, but a creature in pain who renews the Passion of Christ with the devotion and radiance of one who is inspired by God." He goes on to say, "After he steps to the altar and makes the sign of the cross, the Padre's face is transfigured, and he seems like a creature who becomes one with his Creator. Suffering shines through his features, and all can see the painful contractions of his body, especially when he leans on the altar and genuflex, as though he bore the weight of the cross. In the meantime, tears roll down his cheeks, and from his mouth come words of prayer, of supplication for pardon of love for his Lord, of whom he seems to become a perfect replica. Father Carty goes on to say, none of those present notice the passage of time. It takes him about an hour and a half to say his Mass. But the attention of all is riveted on every gesture, movement, and expression of the celebrant. At the sound of the word credo, pronounced with such tremendous conviction, there is a great wave of emotion through the throng, and the most recalcitrant of sinners is carried along as on a stream that is bringing him to the confessional and the renunciation of his old way of life. Fra Modestino Fucci, born in 1917 and passed away in 2011, was a saintly lay brother who lived alongside Padre Pio at the friary in San Giovanni Rotondo for many years. And he often had the privilege of serving at the traditional Latin Mass celebrated by St. Padre Pio. He had this to say, I would watch and observe Padre Pio closely every time from the moment he left his cell at dawn to celebrate Mass. I would see him in a state of suffering and anxiety. He seemed restless, and as soon as he reached the sacristy, where he put on the sacred vestments, I had the impression that already he was no longer aware of what went on around him. He was totally absorbed and conscious of what he was about to fulfill. His face, which was of normal color, became frighteningly pale when he put on the amice, and from that moment onwards he paid no more attention to anyone. Clothed in the sacred vestments, he made his way to the altar, and even though I walked ahead of him, I was aware that his gait became more dragging, his face sorrowful. He seemed to stoop always more, as if I thought crushed beneath the weight of a gigantic invisible cross. And once he arrived at the altar, he kissed it lovingly, and his pale face became inflamed. His cheeks would become crimson, his skin translucent, so that one almost saw the flow of blood that rushed to his cheeks. And after the confiteor, he beat his breast with hollow and heavy blows, as if accusing himself of all the worst sins committed by man. His eyes remained closed without being able to prevent big tears that disappeared into his thick beard. And at the gospel, as he announced the word of God, it seemed as if he fed himself with these words, tasting their infinite sweetness. And immediately after the colloquy between Padre Pio and the Eternal began, this colloquy caused Padre Pio to weep abundant tears that I saw him wipe with a big handkerchief. Padre Pio, who had received the gift of contemplation from the Lord, entered into the abysses of the mystery of the redemption. The veils of that mystery having been torn by the suffering of his faith and love, and all things human disappeared from his sight. Before his gaze was God alone. And everyone saw Padre Pio suffering. He pronounced the liturgical prayers with difficulty and interpreted, interrupted by sobs. The embarrassment the Padre felt at being in the presence and in the searching gaze of others was enormous. He would probably have preferred to celebrate Mass in solitude so as to be able to give free rein to his suffering and to his indescribable love. In those moments, Padre Pio lived sensitively and really felt the passion of the Lord. Time went quickly, but he was outside time. That was why his Mass lasted an hour and a half, or probably more. And at the elevation, his suffering reached its height, and watching his weeping, his sobbing, I was afraid his heart would burst, that he would be about to faint from one moment to the next. God's Spirit had by now penetrated his whole body, and his soul was wrapped in God. And he offered himself with Christ as a victim for his brother's in exile. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zompanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.